important the will of God is for us in our lives, and that we have a desire in our hearts to accomplish, fulfill the will of God in our lives. And I want to, there's a few scriptures that talk about the will of God, and I've been reading quite a bit in Colossians lately, and there's several in here, or a couple in here. Colossians 1, the first chapter and the 9th verse. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now here Paul, that was his prayer for the saints here, that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, walking worthy of the Lord, and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Another text of scriptures in the same book, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, he says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Now it's very important for us to desire the Lord's will and not our own will. It's very vital for us to desire. Remember Jesus in different places. He said, "It's my meat to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." And I believe the Lord has each of us here for a purpose, and we want to fulfill that purpose and that place that He has for us. But He said, "Always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." And that lets me know that He had a desire for them not to just be in part of the will of God, but they would experience the fullness of the will of God in their hearts and in their lives. I thought of the verse also that says, Jesus in one place, He said, "Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." So to me, that verse lets me know that it's going to take more than a Christian profession.
Yes.
It's going to take more than just the testimony of I'm living for the Lord, and it's good to have a testimony. But we must fulfill the will of God. We must seek the will of God. And we must have a desire that God's will would be our will. That our will would not be contrary. Desiring its own thing, desiring its own direction. But that our will would be God's will, and God's will would be accomplished in our hearts, in our lives. Also in Colossians, the 1st chapter and the 11th verse, reading on down, he said, "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now here he mentions, made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, had delivered us from the power of darkness, and we believe that this morning. We believe that God has power to deliver the soul of man, the heart of man, the mind of man, the spirit of man, from the power of darkness to the power of light. And we heard the whole lesson was on that in Sunday school this morning about the change. And we're not following the old man or following the old course anymore. I think about this morning the importance of, and I shared with you my testimony before, and I'll share just a little bit again, but I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I was pretty ignorant of a lot of things when I got saved. And when the Lord helped me to recognize that I was heading in the wrong direction, I began to pray. I began to change things in my life that I knew was wrong. I started reading the Bible. But the Lord, at the same time, I was involved in sports. I played sports all my life. I'm a young child. I went to baseball camp when I was like 5 years old. It's just what I did. I mean, it's just a very big part of my life, and that's what I always dreamed of doing. Playing baseball. Well, and I did all the way up through my high school years. But after the summer after I graduated, the Lord gave me a dream that showed me I was on the wrong road and going the wrong direction. It was very serious. And I believe if I would have continued down the way I was going and died that way, I would have ended up lost. The Lord revealed that to my heart. You're going the wrong direction. You're lost. You need to be saved. And I started praying.
Thank the Lord.
I had a baseball scholarship. It wasn't a real big thing. But there was a coach, and I'm telling you how the Lord worked. And I didn't know. I began to question the school that I went to. I picked it because the coach liked me, and he wanted me to come there and play ball. I didn't pick it because there was a congregation of saints 30 miles away. I didn't even know that. But you see how the Lord works?
God did. Sure.
The Lord was working for my good without me really recognizing it.
Sounds just like it.
And I got over there to school, and my grandmother called me, and she said, "Well, you've got family that lives. There's a congregation that lives right over close by you." Mm-hmm. Well, so I connected. And at the same time, I continued to play baseball. It was just the start of college and school, and I was trying to live for the Lord and do what was right. And Brother Clifford Wilson was the pastor. And then I had family over there. I didn't really have all that much association with growing up. And so I started going to services there. I knew, even though I wasn't raised in the Saints' home, I knew the Saints had taught against sports. The Saints taught against that. And I questioned. I struggled in my heart. Is this right? Is this wrong? What does the Lord want me to do? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I thought about, you know, how our carnal mind works. I thought, well, what did the old saints do, you know? What did the old-time saints, way back in Jesus' day, what did they stand for and what did they live? And the only thing that I could find on them is they were thrown into the arena to be persecuted. They weren't a part. But I didn't have real spiritual light and understanding. And I was praying, struggling, felt conviction. And we had the baseball players had to check in the cafeteria for breakfast. The coach was there, and he'd check your name off the list. And I was sitting there at the table, and I'll never forget. My knees started shaking. I started trembling. The Lord spoke to me, and He said, "Now's the time."
Make a decision.
And that's all that came to my mind. Was now's the time. And I knew what the Lord wanted. Mm-hmm. The saints never talked to me about not playing baseball. They said, "You can't do it." But the Lord, Spirit, was dealing with me and spoke to me.
Yes.
And all he said was, now's the time, and I knew what he meant. I thought, well, how is all this going to work out? Here they gave me a scholarship, and to turn around and say, I'm not going to be playing baseball, how is this all going to work out? And I was scared. And I went over to the coach's table, and I was holding my tray of food, trembling, and I just stumbled out the words, and I'm not going to be playing baseball anymore. And he looked at me puzzled, questioned, and I said, you can have the scholarship back, you can have money back, but I said, I made up my mind, I'm not going to play baseball. And I'm going to tell you something. When I walked out of there, I was filled with the peace of God.
Sure.
It felt like I was walking on air. It felt like just everything had been completely released. And I knew that witness that I had that I'd make the right decision, the right choice. We come to places. We come. God wants us to have the fullness to be in His perfect will. He wants us to have the fullness of His will. Since that point, after that, the Lord began to open up the Scriptures to me. And I began to understand why organized sports is wrong. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting out in the field and playing baseball. I get out in the field and play. I love to go out and shoot a few baskets and play baseball and throw the football. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't get too much of it. Or you get obsessed with it. But when people begin to organize it, and they begin to invest money into it, and the atmosphere that goes along with it, and I begin to realize the what the Lord brought to my mind, I began to remember the cheerleading sessions and the pumping up, the promoting, and the things that were said. We're number one. We can't be number two. We're going to beat the whoopsie out of you. And I began to recognize that's not the Spirit of Christ. And the Lord helped me to recognize in the work, in the Galatians, the fifth chapter, it talks about the works of the Spirit and the work of the flesh. And it used the word emulation. And that word emulation is a striving and excelling to be better. To put yourself forward. And I began to see the whole picture and how that money, and it was a display of the flesh. It was man's, what man's ability can do, and what it was promoted by the flesh. And we can see the further it goes, the worse it gets. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of our youth today neglect their education. They neglect the school part of it. Because of this carrot that's dangling out in front of them. Wanting to go into the sports world and wanting to be a part. I appreciate very much the heritage of the people of God.
Yes.
He talked about me to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. I'm thankful today for the saints. I'm thankful for the saints that are in life. I'm thankful for the things that I was taught, that I was exposed to, that was brought to my attention, to my knowledge. I'm thankful for those things. Another scripture I wanted to get in Timothy, he mentions in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now I want to say something here. I appreciate the people of God very much. It doesn't mean that everybody is exactly on par. It doesn't mean that the whole body is exactly where it should be and there's nobody that's out of order and nobody that's... It doesn't mean that. But I do believe that the people of God have been given and entrusted with the gospel, a pure gospel. And I believe this morning that if we recognize, and what I want to say here is I've been among the people of God for a number of years. I've seen them live. And I've seen them die. I've been with a number of them when they took their last breath. When they were passing through that valley of the shadow of death. And I've seen firsthand, I've seen the peace of God. I've seen them being able to meet the end with comfort and assurance and the peace of God in their hearts. And that speaks a lot to me today.
Yes, me too.
The song says, not an evil foreboding, not a doubt, not a sin that's corroding, not an evil foreboding. He said, knowing of who thou hast learned them, knowing their manner of life. And I appreciate the things that the saints have taught me. Brother Clifford was my first pastor. The things that he taught. I don't believe it's just what the saints teach, but I believe it's Bible.
Sure it is.
I believe the scriptures back it up. And I've seen the good fruit of it. And I've been a partaker of that. And I want to continue in what the Lord has. I want to continue to grow in the perfect will of God. I was taught that when we got saved, we didn't sin. I believe that's Bible. A lot of the religious world today teaches that you live your life, you live in sin, and that Christ just doesn't see it. He doesn't see your sin through the blood. I don't believe the scriptures teach that. Romans, the 6th chapter, the 12th verse. I just jotted down one scripture, but there's many more. Romans 6 and 12. We can read verse 11 with it. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I believe in that this morning.
Yes.
I believe that there's a change that takes place. And I, not only from the scriptures, but from my own heart and my life, the sins that bound me. When I turn my heart and life to the Lord, those things do not have dominion. God gave me victory and power over those things that I didn't have power over before. And I know from the scriptures, and I know from personal testimony, I know from the testimony of others, that God still delivers from sin. Anybody that's living in sin and testifying that they love God and they're serving God is in deception. That's wrong. We don't live in sin and still serve God. He said here, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." There has to be a change. We heard about that in Sunday school this morning. And God wants there to be the change. And let's not allow ourselves to go back. There's a scripture that says, if I build again those things that I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. We don't want to go back and begin those things to build again and support those things that God has delivered us from. I believe the Bible teaches that we live a standard above. We just sin more or less every day. The scripture does say if you do sin, we have an advocate. There's forgiveness. There's restoration. But sin is not the standard of living for the people of God.
No.
He's called us to something higher. And someone that would testify, the religious world that would tell us something different this morning, is in deception. And it's wrong. God wants us to have a life that's clean and pure and righteous before Him, that sin doesn't dwell in. I also believe this morning in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's another thing that I appreciate very much, the saints that I have known and have fellowship with. I wanted to get another scripture in Colossians. The first chapter and the 16th verse. It says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Now I believe this morning that Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. You know, our body, with our natural body, all our members respond to what the head tells us to do. The impulses that come from the brain give our body, our members, instructions of what to do. It comes from the brain. It's the head. That's the way we are to be in our relationship with Christ. He is the head. He's above all. He is the one to move. He is the one to inspire. He is the one that sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. It's not something that, I'm going to pick this and that's what I'm going to do. No, it comes from the Holy Spirit working in individual members that are yielding themselves to God, the burden and the gifts that God gives them and blesses them with. That's how it works. It's through the Holy Spirit. Our services are conducted the same way. Holy Spirit leadership. That's what we crave. That's what we desire.
Yes.
We want more of it. We don't have programs. We don't come here. We got the message all lined out. And we've got all the songs that we're going to sing. We got who's going to pray and who's not going to pray. That's not our responsibility. That's not God's will for us. I believe in the leadership of the head, the Holy Spirit, to minister and to work in our... But we have to give Him room.
Yes.
If we have it all programmed out, And I say, well, so-and-so, you're going to pray, and we're going to talk about this, and it's all programmed out, and there's no liberty for the Spirit of God to work, then it becomes man's religion. It becomes just what we're able to originate, what we're able to do within human ability. And what a human ability, a lot of times, I mean, a lot of services in the religious world today, you can hear a lot of good things. You can hear what's said, a lot of things that can be said that's good. But I think that scripture says, speak unto us new things. We don't want to hear things that cross us. We just want to hear what fits in with what we want to do, our agenda. But the Lord wants us. We had a service at Monarch where it was just testimonies. There was no preaching that night. Good service, a big altar work. The Holy Spirit, Lord, He said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes.
There's liberty there. That's to call the people of God. It's not liberty to the flesh and to serve the flesh, but there's liberty when the Lord puts a burden on my heart to call a song and to share a testimony of what the Lord is. There should be liberty to do that. And I'm so thankful. Sometimes I don't know if we value that enough or treasure that enough. It's not like that out in the world. In a lot of the religious world, you go to a service somewhere and it's cut and dry. They've got everything figured out before you ever get there. But He said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want to put another note in here. You know, you and I have a responsibility when we come to service. Lord, work in my heart and work in my life. It's when the Lord is working effectually in members together, that's where the Lord's presence is.
Yeah.
We don't want to just come to the services and be a bystander, just an onlooker. We want to come contributing with a prayer, with a song, or with a testimony of what the Lord has done. You know, if we never put anything into it, we're not going to get much out. We need to put our hearts and our lives. But I'm thankful today for that liberty. And it doesn't mean it's a free-for-all. There's a scripture that talks about know them that labor among you. Somebody that would want to come in and take the pulpit and just, you know, exert themselves, we wouldn't tolerate that. Because it says, know them that labor among you. We have to know the manner of your life.
Yes.
Because the manner of your life is more important than what comes out of your lips.
Yes.
The way you live your life, Monday through Saturday, it's very vital to us. The fruit that you have in your life speaks a lot more than what just a person is able to say. So there is, I believe, in context, there's liberty, but I believe there are some places there, but it's beautiful. Isn't that way to you? When the Lord works among His people and there's testimonies and there's songs that are anointed and coming from the heart, it's beautiful.
Oh, it's wonderful.
You can't mimic that. I've heard so many testimonies that talk about the saints singing. You know, just even out in the world sometimes, at funerals and stuff, the anointing that they feel in the saints' songs. The anointing comes from living the life, from being an example, and being what God wants us to be. There are so many things this morning. This might be a little bit of a smorgasbord this morning.
It's a good smorgasbord.
But these are things that I value.
Sure.
And I believe that are right. And I believe they're scriptural. And Holy Spirit leadership, I don't really know if we recognize how valuable and how important it is to us. If it is not given, if it's constrained, and man is controlling it, God's Spirit is not liberty to work there. And He departs. The Lord's Spirit departs when He doesn't have freedom and liberty to move and to work. He is the head. I want to encourage you this morning to not argue with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to encourage me too. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will put something on our heart and we'll argue. But now it's not convenient. There's just a lot of different things the enemy can bring to our mind to cause us, it says, quench not the Spirit. And it's kind of a process that we go to of learning, and I'm designed more of learning how to be led of the Spirit and how to know the voice of the Lord. I believe it's very vital for us. But as we begin to yield ourselves and we begin to step out from our insecurities, the Lord, I believe, is able to lead us and to help us, and we can grow in grace. Another thing that the saints have stood for and taught is about the TV. And I'll clarify, we raised our children without a TV in our home. Personally, I feel that Hollywood has done the most damage to our society, to our culture, has been the biggest influence, a down spiral towards away from God, is Hollywood. I know people say different things. There's sometimes people say, well, we only watch the news, and there's good programs. And I say, yes, there is some good programs. And you can't get the news on there. But I'm going to say there's a lot of other evil things that come with TV. It's not like a computer where you're using it. I mean, sometimes people use it in business. There's a lot of evil to the computer also. And I'll say that you and I have to watch and be on guard. Because there's a lot of evil that can come over the computer. But the computer can be used to write letters. It can be used as a business tool. But I want to say this too. If it causes you to begin to lose ground spiritually, cut it off. Folks, we're talking about eternity.
The stakes are high.
We're talking about being able to meet God at the end of this life with a peace and assurance in our hearts, in our souls, that the Lord has accepted that I'm standing complete in all the will of God. And if there's a weak place that you have, I'll say, as Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. It's not worth your spiritual life. Whatever, and that applies to anything. If we have a certain amount of weakness, others may be able to do it. But if I have a special weakness, don't just look at that and say, well, they're doing it, I'm going to do it too, or I can do it and feel justified. I'm trying to get to heaven. I'm trying to meet God with peace at the end of the journey. And the Scriptures make it very clear to me that there's things I'm going to have to separate myself from to do that. I can't just be all-inclusive and take everything that the world presents. I'm going to have to be able to cut things off that hinder me spiritually and be willing to do that. But I think about the TV in the home, and I think about the commercials that pop up. I think about the influence. Maybe you can control it. I'm going to be frank with you. I can't.
I can't either.
I go to visit my unsaved family members. A lot of them have TV, and a lot of them will have TV on when I'm there.
Yeah, we'll turn it on sometime.
It is very, very difficult. To have a conversation.
Yes.
And this motion picture moving.
Yep.
And they are captivating. They're experts. They study. What gets people's attention?
Yes, they do.
They study. It's not just myths. The devil knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
And he is endeavoring to seduce. And things that one time were black and white, clear, or understood, pretty soon it begins to get fuzzy.
Yeah.
Sure. Pretty soon it begins to get unclear. Yeah. Pretty soon I don't really quite see it like I used to.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
The devil's trying to fog things, folks. And he's an expert at seducing. Yeah. We've got to be watchful and careful. Videos, the computer, Hollywood, Satan is trying to destroy our souls. He's trying to get your affection.
Yeah.
He's trying to get your attention. And I think about the example that we give. Maybe you can control it. What about the example that you give to your family, your children that are coming on behind you? They've got the TV. Are they going to control it like you did? Very, very serious. I'm thankful that I don't have a TV. I'm thankful for that this morning.
Yes.
The saints have taken a lot of flack for that.
Yep.
The ministers years ago, before it is what it is today, years ago, saw the danger.
Oh, yeah.
Saw the power and the influence. Lord, help us today. There's a scripture. I believe it's Bible. I don't believe it's just art. There's a scripture that said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And it's the principle, I will bring no ungodly thing into my house. Back under the old law, the Old Testament, their place of abode were to be sanctified. They were to be holy unto the Lord. And we need to be careful of the things that we allow. We open the door sometimes that has so many consequences. We don't recognize sometimes the effect of Satan's employees, the power that he has to control the mind and the heart and the affections, and the little way that starts out and begins with, sometimes it seems like some things, like it doesn't seem like it's so bad. But it begins to grow. And it begins to feed. Lord, help us today to stand in all the perfect will of God. Be willing to be different. And the last couple of days, the Lord has been talking to me about change. You and I have got to be willing to change. When the Lord shows us that we're too much like the world, or our thoughts are too much like the world, or this is too much like the world, you and I have got to be willing to change. And that takes a real commitment on our part. It's not easy to change.
No.
It's not easy to break habits. It's not easy to do something different. It takes a real effort to do that. But I believe the Lord is calling us to make changes all along the journey as we see fit. And I'm not talking about changes that bring us closer to the world. I'm talking about changes that put more distance between us and the things of this world and the ideas that this world. The saints have always taught, love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There needs to be a separation. There needs to be some boundaries that you and I set.
Yes.
I'm not going past that. I want to tell you, some of the things that I remember, and Lord, forgive us today. I remember one of the big messages as a young person that I heard was the message of compromise. Seemed like camp meeting, you could hear it maybe two.
Yeah.
At least twice.
Yeah.
Messages that dealt along the line of compromise. And basically what they were saying was, was if you begin to give in, you begin to let down in this area, and you don't have bulwarks, you don't have commitments, you don't have places settled in your heart, pretty soon, that seems okay. And we've seen the effects. There was a big split back in the early 1900s of the saints that we know, Church of God saints. And some of them were saying there were different issues that came up. And there were people that didn't agree with those. And they tried to hold on to what they had been doing and been living and the way they had been taught. There was a division there. Now, 100 years later, 1910, 2010, 100 years later, where is it at? It seemed so innocent at the beginning. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress, Bypath, Meadow? I believe it was the way it wasn't total right-hand turn contrast. It was a way of traveling right alongside the highway of holiness. Right alongside the king's path. It was going the same direction. It looked the same. But very gradually it began to veer off. I read a tract just recently. I believe it was... I can't remember who it was, but it was a dream that somebody had years ago, and it talked about the dream talked about how a lot of the saints fell through compromise. They began to set up pulpit committees. They began to legislate. Whereas one time it was the Holy Spirit leadership, now it became organized more and more by man. And folks, now today, there are things that are purported. That I can't go along with and I can't support.
No.
If you take, and I'm not just saying the saints, we'll take the Nazarenes, we'll take the Baptists, we'll take holiness movements in general. Are they teaching and practicing what they taught and practiced 100 years ago?
Wow.
I don't believe they are. I believe that we, with all of my heart, that we live in a backslidden society. And I believe that's been by revelation to me, personally, from the Lord. I believe the saints know that, recognize that, but I personally feel that we're living at the end of time in a backslidden state. For me to begin to make concessions is foolish at this point. For me, recognizing those that have went away and recognizing where they're at today. Oh yeah, they might have a lot of people in the congregations. But there's a lot of worldliness and there's a lot of ungodliness and unrighteousness.
I get invited too.
And I'm not really interested in that. I believe the Lord, you know, and I believe the saints were being accused of being legalistic. And I believe that's going to come more and more as time goes on. Well, you're just legalistic. Folks, we're just endeavoring to keep the old paths. Like he taught to Jeremiah, back in Jeremiah, he talked about, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? It is so easy for us just to kind of go along with the flow. The saints have always been careful in their dress. And we've been criticized for that too. Women wear dresses. Be a woman. Woman having long hair. The scripture talks about there in Corinthians, a woman's long hair is her glory. It's a sign that she's in subjection to her husband. It's a sign of femininity. If I pronounce that correct. It's a sign of womanly virtues and womanly characteristics. Our world is so far from that today. Desiring to be a keeper at home. Talk about women being keepers at home. Today, it's like you just be a career woman. Be a career person. And I'm not against education. But I'm against career women.
Yes.
I mean, if they're married. That's Bible.
Yes, it is.
That's not just tradition of the saints. That's Bible. Teach the younger women to be sober. To love their husbands. To be keepers at home. To raise their children. The world cannot raise your children like you can. You know, a lot of people just are living their, they're leaving their children to
daycares.
Daycares are so popular in our world today. And they're good people in daycares. Good caring people in daycares. Nice loving people in daycares. But they can't raise your child like you can.
Not God's plan.
That wasn't God's plan. That bonding that goes with between a mother and a child in those early years is very powerful. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. We don't need to be ashamed. This what I don't feel like this is just totally tradition and just what the saints, they're good traditions. But I believe it's Bible.
Yeah, sure.
I believe it's scripture, and we can see all the effects, the damage that's done when people go contrary to what God's perfect will is.
Thank the Lord for the truth.
His perfect will. Yeah. You know the modesty that the saints have stood for years and years. Plainness of dress.
Yes.
Not flashy and not trying to draw attention to yourself. Not tight and form-fitting. Trying to reveal body parts. I believe that's right. I believe it's true. But it's being downplayed. It's being scoffed at. It's being belittled. That's not really necessary.
Legalistic.
I believe those things are necessary.
Amen.
The Lord wants a meek people. He wants a quiet people. You know, that's why we don't wear the jewelry. Deck out with jewelry. He talked about who's adorning. Let it not be that outward adorning of wearing of gold and the putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. A meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. I appreciate the worldly heritage today.
Yes, I do too.
I appreciate the example that has been set. I want to encourage us. He said, be not conformed to this world. We have that scripture in Sunday school also. Be not conformed, that means pressed into its mold. He said, be transformed, be changed. You and I are going to have a willingness to be different. It's just going to have to take place. We cannot blend the world and Christ together and expect God's blessing and expect His favor and expect His anointing in our hearts and our lives. We can't do it. There's a cost. You and I, the scriptures are very clear. When He called them out of Egypt, He was calling them out of bondage, a separate people unto Himself. It's the same way in the New Testament, a separate people unto Himself.
Yes.
Called out, separate from the world. Means that we don't think like the world. We don't go everywhere the world goes. There's a difference there. And you and I are going to have to make a commitment to be different. You're going to have to make a commitment to be marked. You're going to have to make a commitment, and when the Lord begins to show light, if you're not careful, there's a scripture he talked about. We see the glory of the Lord as in an open glass. We see, but it talks about he goeth his way and forgets what manner of man he was. You know, if you and I are not careful, we'll go our way. And we won't change because the Lord wants us to make changes. When the Lord begins dealing with us and talk to us, it's going to take a real commitment and a real denial of self. Lord, I'm going to follow you regardless of what it costs. Regardless of what it takes. It may cost us our job sometimes. We may have to give it up. These things are literal that affect our lives. But when it comes to my soul and my spiritual welfare, my being, I must be willing to follow the Lord in the path that He has given. I think about the scripture where He told Timothy, He said, be an example of the believers. And I didn't get where it's probably 1st or 2nd Timothy. But He said, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation. That conversation means the manner of your life. Word, conversation, and charity, be an example of the believers. And I'm struck this morning about how important an example is. An example. The perfect will of God. Can someone look in my life and follow it without being led astray? Can someone do what I do and live like how I live? Go where I go. Eat what I eat. Can they follow that and be able to arrive safely at the end of the journey? Or is there some places in there that will cause somebody to be a little misguided, a little misled? The path deviates just a little bit. It's pretty serious, isn't it? I think about the man talking about he was nearing the end of life. It's a poem. And they asked him, said, why are you building this bridge? Why are you building this bridge? And he said he saw a youth coming back behind him. And he said, I'm building this bridge for you. Folks, it's just not us. We want to be saved. But we want others to be saved too. I don't want to mislead. I don't want to give a faulty example. I don't want to live my life in questionable areas that cause people to begin to question and have doubts and begin to be misled or bring confusion. The Lord wants us to be an example of the believers. In word, conversation, and charity, our manner of life, our manner of spirit. Saints haven't been legalistic.
No.
There may have been a few number here and there that was harsh and critical. And was that way? But in general, I don't see the saints as being legalistic. It wasn't that way when I come among the saints. They weren't harsh to me.
No, that's not the benchmark.
They weren't critical with me.
Me neither.
They were gentle.
It was me either.
They were patient.
Sure.
They were long suffering. And I believe that's the way the body is today.
Yes.
The saints, true saints. Saints in life. Lord, help us today to be encouraged.
Yes, thank the Lord for the truth.
In all the perfect will of God, He started us, and I pray that you would stand complete and perfect in all the will of God. Pray for me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord for the truth. Yes.